Try to learn some things, help us draw closer to the Lord. Reading through John, we'll kind of walking with the Lord and listening to him talk to these Jews. So we got down to verse 27-28. So nice, we got the AC at least working. This side the AC is working, this side it's not. So maybe if everybody sits over this. But yeah. We're working on that. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us as we seek to understand your words and try to align our thinking, our beliefs with thee, irregardless what people say. And I pray you'd help us to be faithful students of your word and that we might study and then rightly divide, that you'd be pleased with the conclusions that we draw as we listen to you speak to these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, in John 5, okay, in verse 10, you can see, remember you ask yourself two questions, you read through the Bible, who's talking, to whom is he talking? So he's talking to the Jews. It's just said the Jews. And this would be the Jewish leadership who are pestering the Lord, trying to catch him in his speech. And some of those Jews were flesh and blood men, but some of those Jews were walking, talking devils. And in verse 18, when he makes himself equal with God, they had a fit. They threw a fit like drama queens. And so as he said, I and my Father are one. So there's the equality of the Godhead. We got down to 27, and there's a thought here about judgment or a time of judgment that we may try to fit it where God places it. Okay, in John 5:27, and well, verse 26, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves, okay, in the grave, not Sheol, not Gehenna, all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. So everybody that's been dead and their bodies dissolved or whatever, shall hear his voice and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, does he mean that? Now, he didn't say they that are saved unto the resurrection of life and they that are lost unto the resurrection of damnation. He said good and evil. Did he not? He said good and evil. So where does this judgment, where do we place this judgment? And multiple choice tests are usually the easiest test because usually you could eliminate two out of the four. But in this case, we got seven judgments and we got to try to pick from. Okay, and so you have for the believer, we're judged for our sins at Calvary. We're judged in this life as a child of God. We're judged at the judgment seat for our service and the quality of our service. So that's our three. You have the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation. Remember the sheep and the goats back and forth. You've got there's a judgment of Satan. It's in a five-step installment program. So you got the judgment of Satan. You got the judgment of Israel. Okay, that'd be in the tribulation. And then there's one more judgment, and it's known as the White Throne Judgment. Okay, that's at Revelation 20, after the millennium. Okay, so the judgment seat of Christ, that is strictly for born-again believers. That doctrine was introduced by Paul in Romans 14, 1 Corinthians 3, 2 Corinthians 5. So that's only for them. So what about people in the Old Testament? What about people in the tribulation? What about people in the millennium? When is their final judgment? So for the born-again believer, the judgment seat of Christ has to take place during the tribulation, Daniel's 70th week, because at the end, remember, the bride hath made herself ready to marry the bridegroom. So we've had to go through the judgment. So that's got to be all done. So mid-trib is out of the picture, and pre-wrath or post-trib, all that's out of the picture, because you got to have some time for the judgment seat of Christ. So this verse 29, I would say of those seven, logically, we'd have to throw that in the most logical place would be the white throne judgment. Okay, and shall come forth they that have done good. Okay, now this brings up the question, you know, does that mean that people in the Old Testament attained righteousness in a different dispensing than we do? Well, I'm going to have to say yes on that. Okay, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, this is all that the Jewish people knew. If you would go back to Daniel 12, verse 1. There are many that teach the dispensations, but many that do teach them, for some reason, like Oliver B. Green, who's the Bible bus guy, J. Vernon McGee, a lot of these men, good men, but for some reason they didn't want to accept that there is a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament. I'm not sure why they didn't want to accept it, and usually the justification for it is that Jesus is the same yesterday and today and forever, which I agree he is. But in that same letter, he says at the beginning that God has spoken in diverse manners in different times. So, yes, God is the same, but he does use different methods. Daniel 12, verse 1, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, withstand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble. So we know that to be Jacob's trouble. Such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that is found shall be found written in the book. And then many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That sounds very similar to the John 5 statement. Those that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So we have an extreme there. Good and evil. And that might take us back. Remember in Genesis 2 where they had the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And in that case, to be good was to stay away from the tree. To be evil was to partake of the tree in disobedience to God. So maybe we can go in the Old Testament and try to figure some of these things out. Let's try Deuteronomy chapter 6. And what the Lord is doing in this experiment of earth and man, that he's setting up a great court date that he's gonna come out the victor. And some in our day would say, okay, many in our day say that you're not saved by grace alone in Jesus Christ. You have to be baptized. You have to have works. Okay, well, in the Old Testament, they had to have works. But now in the New Testament, it's by grace through faith. And then in the millennial time period, it's strictly works, because their faith is dissolved because they can go to Jerusalem to see Jesus Christ. So the Lord has different programs, and the Lord is going to be proven right. Deuteronomy 6, verse 24, and the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes. Okay, so that would be the moral law, the Ten Commandments, some of the ceremonial law for the Jewish people. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it, their obedience to those laws, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he commanded us. So there's the definition of where Jesus said, that have done good. Deuteronomy also, chapter 12. The reason why we'll hang around Deuteronomy is because this is the instructions of right and wrong, actually good and evil, for the Jewish people. 12:28. Okay, this one says, observe and hear all these words which I command thee, that it may go well with thee and with thy children after thee forever, when thou doest that which is good and right in the sight of the Lord thy God. So there's the standard for them. Now, if you would, Deuteronomy chapter 30. And we've done this a few times. Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, 12, 13, and 14. These four verses are referenced by Paul in Romans 10, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. And in Romans 10, 4, he talked about the righteousness which is of the law. Romans 10, verse 5. And then when you kind of skim down verse 11, 12, 13, at the end of verse 12, you see the two words, do it. At the end of verse 13, do it. At the end of verse 14, do it. Kind of sounds like James 1:22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, those three occurrences of do it, when Paul cites that in Romans 10, he is offering to the Israeli people there a better system. Instead of the do it, do it, do it, it's the word of faith. That's what he's offering them in Romans 10, 8. Now, directly he's offering that to Israel, but we get to be a part of that as a result of Christ. But then he summarizes that in Deuteronomy 30, verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. So I would dare say that would be a foundation that the Lord Jesus Christ was revealing to the Jewish people as he said this in John 5:29. Then if you would, Ezekiel chapter 18. There are many denominations, there's many Arminians who believe that a person can lose their salvation, okay? And they do have scripture. But the scriptures that they usually show you are Jewish passages about the tribulation. And Ezekiel 18, when you pick it up about verse 24... And you'll see that Ezekiel will give that contrast also. But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Now, a cross-reference of that is John 8, where Jesus said that when a man dies in his sin, he doesn't go where he goes, to heaven. John 8, 21 and 24. So this is dying in Adam, in transgression. This is a man who lost it. Now, I don't know, but Solomon is a character that might experience that. I'm uncertain about Solomon. Now, Solomon, in the beginning of his reign, he was a type of Christ. When the Queen of Sheba came, he's a type of Christ, asking a lot of questions. But then he became a type of the Antichrist with all the wives, and he brought in 666 talents of gold in a year. So Solomon, and Solomon's not mentioned in Hebrews 11. I'm not saying that's a hard, fast rule, but I do wonder about Solomon. How could somebody who had the great speech or prayer that he had and the wisest and then end up the way he ended up? But it's a toughie. Then in verse 27... Ezekiel 18, he said, again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. This is dealing with their soul. So there's a lot to be said under the Old Testament covenant. Now, let's try a Revelation 20. And kind of reason this idea out. I think I was listening to J. Vernon McGee on the Bible Bus, and he has a lot of good things to say, but he mentioned a white throne judgment, and he said that only lost people will be judged at the white throne. I thought, okay. I sort of kind of beg to differ on that. Because what about all the lost or all the righteous of the Old Testament who don't go to the judgment seat? No. And what about people in the tribulation? What about people in the millennium? There's got to be a time for their judgment. And what would their judgment be based on? Well, Revelation 20, verse 11, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the God. And the books were open, another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. What does that imply? There's a bunch that their name is found in the book of life. Okay, and this would be the righteous from Adam all the way through, everybody outside of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, because we get the new birth. And all the people in the millennial time period. So this would stand in good ground with the Lord in John 5. And this is the doctrine that he was teaching the Jewish people. He did introduce the idea of the resurrection from the dead, and just that simple introduction stunned it threw the apostles for a loop. They didn't know about that. And then the Lord kept a lot of those things secret, and then he used the apostle Paul to reveal those things to the church. Okay, John 5:29. Now he's talking to the Jewish the Jews of verse 10, and then he's going to start being laying it down pretty rough on them. He says this, I can of mine own self do nothing, as I hear I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. Now that's an unusual statement. Okay, when the Lord Jesus bears witness of himself, it is true. But in this context, because he's using the law, you need to have two witnesses. So that's why he says it's not true in the sense of the Jewish law. And so then the second witness is going to bear witness of him, the Father. So at the verse 32, there is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. Okay, this is John the Baptist. But I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He, John, was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Now, John the Baptist must have been quite a character. He lived during a time period where signs and wonders were given to the speaker to verify his message, but John did no miracles, zero miracles, but yet he had such power in his words that the people were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. Then he says, but I have a greater witness than that of John. So John did bear witness of the Lord Jesus, but he said, I've got a greater witness than John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. So God the Father. And all this time he keeps saying the Father, the Father, the Father, and the Jew in his mind is probably saying, the Lord our God is one, you know, you're polytheist and all that stuff. And the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, neither seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent him, ye believe not. Okay, now in the law, it stated that there's going to be somebody coming like unto Moses. And then the Lord Jesus meets all those qualifications and they ignored him. They rejected him. You see, the big conflict between Jesus and the Jews, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, is that they had established a counterfeit Judaism. That's what they established. It's under the Talmud. Okay, you have the Tanakh, that would be the Pentateuch, and then a Talmud is a commentary by the rabbis of the, what we could call the Masoretic text. So the Masoretic text for the Jew would be their King James Bible, and the Talmud would be their NIV, New American Standard, RSV, commentaries. That's what the Talmud is. And it's a volume of, I don't know, 24, 25. It's a large volume. The only copy I know of is up in the Valparaiso Library, in the Library at Valpo. And there's a certain section that was really bad as far as the comments by the Jewish rabbis. And so this mystic Judaism, which now is called the Kabbalah, that's what Jesus was exposing. And that was a satanic version of Judaism. Jesus would say, ye have heard it said, but I say unto you. Okay, when he said, ye have heard it said, he's quoting from the Judaizers. He's quoting from the Kabbalah. He's quoting from the fake Judaism. And that's why those Jews wanted to murder him, because it was a direct conflict between Satan's counterfeit religion and the true Judaism that Jesus Christ was offering or showing or trying to restore as far as what Moses was given. And you know, this same Kabbalah is still in play. And this is the undercurrent of the entire transgender movement heading into the tribulation. Because the Kabbalah and mystic Judaism, some of these Hollywood actors, you'll hear them talk about, you know, the Jews and the mysticism and all this stuff. The Kabbalah, and this is the foundation of Freemasonry and the god Baphomet, that's the Freemason goat-headed god, is they teach that Adam, when he was created a male-female. Okay, in one body, a male-female. And when Adam sinned, that's when the genders came in separate. And in order for Satan and his people to restore the original Adam is they try to become one gender. Okay, that's the whole religious undercurrent of the transgender movement. And this is why they are so rabid when the threat of abortion is just being talked about being taken away from them. Because that's what they're into. And so this is still in existence today. And this is why the devils of the Pharisees instigated the crucifixion, because the Lord Jesus was exposing them for what they were teaching. Okay, then he says in verse 39, search the scriptures. Now, they had the same mindset that many of the colleges and the seminaries have today, is that they've never seen a copy of the scriptures. From their definition, they've never seen a copy. So he says, search the scriptures, for in them you think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So the scriptures in Genesis and Exodus, and you come all the way through there, you'll see this is like Jesus. This is a picture of Jesus. The door of the ark is Jesus. The Passover lamb is Jesus. The sacrifice of Isaac is Jesus. Okay, Moses is a type of Christ. So you got all this is testifying of me, Jesus. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. They won't do it. And then he says, I receive not honor from men. Won't do it. But I know you, that ye have not the love of God in you. And this is the violent reaction that we see when any of this abortion, transgenderism, any of this that's being threatened, is their reaction, because they're trying to attain godhood by being one gender. That's what they're trying to do. Get back to Adam. And this is a religion that when people, these elitists, are born into this, the Rothschilds or whatnot, when their child is, if a child is genetically born, if it's male, they'll raise it female. And if it's a female, they'll raise it male. Now, they might do some cosmetic surgery on them to make them appear that way. But back in the day, in the Roman days, you know, in the England days, all the actors were men. All of them were. They dressed up as women. Men dressed up as women. Okay, and that's where all the acting was taking place. And this is a part of this Kabbalah. And we're seeing this come to a head. And from the believer's standpoint, this is exciting. It's sad at the same time, but it's exciting because it's laying a foundation for the Antichrist, who's like Baphomet, who will be like Baphomet. He will not consider a woman. So in verse 43, he says, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. And this is exactly what these people do. They won't listen to the authority, but they'll listen to somebody that they want. He said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another? Westcott and Hort. And another should come in his own name, him ye will receive. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. They claim to trust Moses, but they won't listen to Moses. Just like the scholars claim to want to know what the scriptures say, but they don't care what the scriptures say. Okay, so they're not going to listen to Moses. And he says, you claim to trust in Moses, but you really don't. If you would jump to John 9, this is kind of how this came out with the blind fella. And I bet you that blind man was scratching his head so many. What are these people's problems? Okay, John 9, 28. Okay, this is about the third time that these guys interrogated this blind man about who gave him his sight. And verse 28, they reviled him and said, thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. No, you're not. And then they said, we know that God spake unto Moses. How do they know that? That's like the scholars say, we know the originals were inspired. How do you know that? You've never seen a copy of them. How do you know God spoke through Moses? You weren't there. You have to believe the scriptures are preserved without error, and they didn't believe that. And he says, we know that God spake unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. Well, Jesus, the first public miracle, he turned water into wine, just like Moses turned water into blood. He was born in Bethlehem. He was from Nazareth of Galilee. He went down. I mean, he meets the qualifications. 48 predictions in the Old Testament of the Lord Jesus Christ at his first coming, and he fulfilled all 48, and they wouldn't accept that. Why? Because they were fully entrenched in this mystic Judaism under the spell of Lucifer. He says in verse 46, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me. And that's true. For he wrote of me. See, now he's gone from the third person to the first person. Moses wrote about me. Now, after the resurrection and the road to Emmaus, remember that the fellows were talking about the events of the week, and then Jesus began at Moses and showed to them all about him. And we can start in Genesis and just go through it and see all these pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. But these Satanists who called good evil and evil good, which is what we're seeing broadcast on the news and everything, okay? They're calling good evil and evil good, and this is exactly what's going on. And then the Lord just threw out a question where in this conversation, but if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? So he made it easy for them. Just go read the first five books of the Bible. That's all you got to do. And then in John 12:48, what's going to judge these men in the last day, which will be the white throne judgment. The Lord says in John 12:48-47, he says, if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him, the word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him the last day. And what's the common saying that happens when a guy's in court and they just really put the maximum punishment on him? They say, he threw the book at him. He threw the book at him. Or like in the old, was it Hawaii, book him, Dano. Okay, and that's the book. That's the book. And he's just going to take it from Genesis and he's just going to run it through. And then he's going to say, depart from me, you cursed and everlasting fire, because you rejected my son. So in John 5, he's that entire speech where we could be sitting in a corner and listening to this, enjoying this, throwing amen here and there. were to those Jews of verse 10, he's pointing them all back to the scriptures. But they didn't want to hear the scriptures. They wanted to hear the Talmud, the commentary on the scriptures, not the scriptures. Okay, we'll stop there. Do you have any questions or comments when we cover? Brother Paul?